Amen. What a beautiful song, and what a powerful, important message for us, that He does and will hold us fast. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give to us strength, understanding, clarity. Help us to know You in a deeper way. Cling to Your promises all the more. Give us Your grace, Lord, as we hear Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're struggling through a situation and you're dealing with a difficulty or something that's challenging, it is good to know others who have gone through what you're going through, isn't it? Isn't it good to be able to talk to somebody who's gone through the kinds of things that you're beginning to experience or you're experiencing? It's good to have someone who understands and who, having gone through it, can kind of show you that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You can and will get through it. There's something, and I'm not sure exactly why, but there's something really comforting in the words, "I've been there. I've been there." When Paul calls Timothy to action, he often reminds Timothy that he himself has been through a lot of what he is telling Timothy that he's going to go through. He reminds Timothy of his own suffering. He's been inviting Timothy for the last number of passages that we've been looking at. He's been inviting Timothy into suffering along with him. One of the big themes from last week, Timothy, share in suffering with me for the gospel. And he filled in some blanks of what that would look like to share in suffering for the gospel. He said, sharing in suffering looks like that soldier who gives up civilian affairs to follow the commander alone. Or an athlete who sacrifices the everyday comforts that we all enjoy to be qualified to run the race. Sharing in suffering looks like that farmer who labors hard to make sure that the land gives fruit. Paul's been there. Paul's preached the gospel. He's trained up men to take his place, including Timothy himself. And he has been attacked, and he has been criticized, and he's been persecuted the entire way. He has surrendered his rights. He's been willing to endure persecution. He has not been focused on his own comfort or his own acclaim or what he's going to get out of it. He has been focused on making Jesus known to the Gentiles. He's been there. He's been trying to live for the gospel regardless of the consequences. Just exactly what he is calling Timothy to, and it is what we are called to as well. Here's the thing. Paul's been there. He understands, true. But Paul knows that it's not enough to tell Timothy, "I've been there." Paul has far more powerful armor and armament. He has been able to press on day by day because he knows something that he wants Timothy to know. Jesus has been there, and he won. It's the most important thing that Timothy can know. It's the most important thing that we can know and understand. Jesus has been there. He won. And in him, so do we. Please open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 13 this morning. And we're going to examine where Paul gets his strength to carry on, and where he tells us we have to get our strength, and where he tells Timothy that he must get his strength. And we find here in this short passage two keys. The first is this: eyes on Christ. And the second, remember sound doctrine. Take a look at verses 8 through 13. Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Amen? Here's the first key, I believe, that Paul is laying out for us in verses 8 through 10. Eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Christ. Look, beloved, there is no better counsel at any time, anywhere, for any person, for any situation than this. Remember Jesus Christ. Every message should really be the same. Remember Jesus Christ. What does Paul mean by remember? It's not really that Timothy has forgotten Jesus. It's that Timothy must turn his eyes back to Jesus again. Eyes on Christ. Hebrews talks about a fixed gaze on Christ. The command is to keep in mind, to think of. Again, it's a present imperative. It's a present command. It means that it suggests that there's an ongoing need for us at all times to remember Christ, to look again at his person and his promises. Now, here's something interesting. If you think about this, Timothy is preaching Jesus. Paul has just told him, entrust that teaching to faithful men who are going to teach others, right? So it's not that Timothy has forgotten. Timothy is preaching Jesus, yet Paul is calling him to remember Jesus. How does this work? Well, I can tell you from personal experience, it is possible to be preaching Jesus and yet have a heart that is divided. It's wrestling. Wrestling with human fears and anxieties and frailties. I mean, you have to think about someone like Peter walking on water and then turning his eyes from Jesus and sinking and almost drowning. Now, you have to think about this part. No other disciple jumped in. This man had faith to get into the water. He showed courage. But then his eyes shifted. It's not that Paul thinks Timothy doesn't know or trust Christ. Paul knows how our human hearts work. We still struggle with fears, don't we? We still have anxieties. We still need to be reminded, and we need to remind ourselves, Jesus is the Christ. And notice there are specific things that Paul mentions about Jesus. Things that are important to the present situation that Timothy is dealing with, and I think that we often deal with, that Paul wants to press in on. First, look at what Paul says. It's about Christ's identity, his person. Paul's telling him to remember at least these two things about the identity of Jesus. One, he says, he is risen from the dead. Do we spend enough time contemplating this reality that Jesus is risen from the dead? That is the ultimate victory, the ultimate source of our victory over all of our enemies, whether sin or suffering, disease or death. He has been there and he won. Christian, keep in mind, the one who is our Savior has gone through the worst possible circumstances and he has prevailed. And because of what he has done and what he endured, we will never have to go through that misery. And instead, he gives to us a special resurrection strength to endure whatever comes our way. His resurrection means that we have nothing to fear in life or in death. It means that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. It means that he is alive even now, interceding for us daily. Jesus is risen. Paul tells us elsewhere, it is that very resurrection power that's in us, that gives to us life because we are in him and he is in us. That life and that power is ours. Timothy, don't be afraid. Eyes on Jesus. Don't be afraid. Paul adds another element to the identity of the Savior that Timothy has to keep his mind on while he serves the Lord in challenging times under persecution. Jesus is the offspring of David, Paul tells him. I have to stop and think about that. Why is that so important? What's that all about? How does this truth that Jesus is the offspring of David strengthen Timothy's resolve and ours? Jesus, as the offspring of David, is the promised Messiah. He is the anointed one who was promised by God to David, the one who will reign and who will have an eternal kingdom. The first time he came to save, but he will come again to bring judgment and to reign. Timothy, you are his. Timothy, no matter what is going on around you, O Christian, no matter what is pressing in, you are on the right side of history. Because you are on the side of the Lord over history. Do not be afraid. Eyes on Jesus, the King of all kings. Beloved, I know it can be hard. Sometimes we may be so tired of being the outcasts, the ones who don't fit in at work or with the family or just in the world in general. Maybe we would just rather be quiet for a while about our faith. Just kind of hide. Remember Jesus. He did it all. He's coming to bring it all to completion. Keep your eyes on his person, his identity. Press on, Paul's telling Timothy. But notice this, Paul continues. He adds something more that he needs Timothy to know. It's not just Christ's person, it's Christ's power. Notice this, Paul never will tell Timothy or anyone that the Christian life involves no suffering, you're just going to be at peace all the time. No, living for Christ, Paul says, will bring suffering. As a matter of fact, he reminds us again and again in this letter alone, let alone other letters, there will be suffering if you're a follower of Jesus. Right now, Paul's writing, he's bound, he's in prison, he's literally chained up. The Romans and even the Jews who had gotten him there believe they have tied him down. Paul has been stopped, they believe. But here's the power of Christ, made evident in our weakness. Even when we seem down and out, tied up and bound, stopped in our tracks, the gospel, the word of God, the hope declared in the promises of God, those can never be stopped. When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul in his chains saw the power of the gospel. He saw it take hold of prison guards, visitors, the powerful, the poor. He saw its power when he was out preaching. He saw its power when he was locked away. We have to remember this, beloved. Because of God's covenant promises to us in Christ, no weapon that is fashioned against us shall succeed. The Lord tells us in Isaiah 54, he says to his servants after that statement, no weapon that's fashioned against us will succeed. He says, their vindication is from me. Don't let appearances fool you. The word of God is as powerful today as it was when Paul wrote these words, and people are coming to Christ all over the world. In places that we would least expect, the power of the word is yet unbound, and the gospel is reaching the nations. Do not forget the power of Christ the Savior. There's one more thing Paul says to Timothy here in this context. Something else about Jesus that he is to remember. Christ's person, we said, then his power. Notice verse 10. It goes along with this second point, but Paul says that he endures all things for who? The elect. What does he mean? He says he preaches and he endures for the elect. He means this. Paul can press on regardless of the circumstances. Because he is confident in this, God has set aside a people for himself. And it is the gospel that Paul is preaching, that we get the privilege to preach, that God uses to awaken hearts, regenerate them, and draw them to himself to give to them eternity. Paul is confident not in his own ability to preach and persuade, but in Christ's electing love and glorious plan. Look at it carefully. Look what Paul is saying. He says he preaches with confidence. God's word will not return to him void. He knows this. It will accomplish what God desires for it to accomplish. And we need to speak to people with this very same confidence, because he knows that God has chosen and he will bring to salvation those he's called. So Paul can preach knowing that those who belong to God in Christ will come. There's an interesting episode, in the book of Acts, chapter 18. Paul, with Silas and Timothy, is preaching in the synagogues, as he always would do, and he's doing this in Corinth. And he goes in and he's preaching to the Jews in the synagogues, and they opposed him. They ridiculed him. They reviled him. They kicked him out even. And Paul turns at that time to the Jews in the synagogue, and he says to them that he will, from this point on, no longer go to them. He will now go to the Gentiles. The Lord came to Paul in a vision and said to him this: "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent." Just what Paul's telling Timothy. Go on speaking. And he gives two reasons. The first is this: I am with you, and no one will harm you. But the second one is interesting too. The second reason he gives Paul to go on preaching and not be afraid, he says this: I have many in this city who are my people. In other words, keep preaching, because his elect are there and they will come. It's not about us. It's not about how persuasive we are. It is about those that God is calling, and he is using us to proclaim his gospel, to draw his people to himself. We must preach. We must go out. Eyes on Christ means we know him, we know his person, we know his power, and we know his people. And we can add to that, we know his plan. He's got this. Trust him. Follow him. Do not be afraid. We preach. We live out the Christian life before men, confident in this, God will use us to draw his people. Paul now turns to remind Timothy of one more thing. The second key. Eyes on Jesus, yes, but now he says, remember sound doctrine. This is important. It's almost what we're reading in verses 11 through 13 is almost like reading an old creed or a confession. Remember sound doctrine, Paul's going to tell Timothy. Or another way of looking at this is preach the truth to yourself. Let me start with this. Learning sound doctrine is so important because it is the truth that we will run to for peace, encouragement, correction, and change. Please see this. For Paul to encourage Timothy to stand firm and be willing to share in suffering, he doesn't call Timothy to use a particular strategy or a program. He doesn't say, well, just do it this way, Timothy. He calls Timothy to remember the truth upon which his life is built. And that truth will launch him and us into action. It will be the steady ground on which he walks. It'll be the armor that he needs. You see, when we grasp the depth of the gospel, which gives us life, when we meditate on the promises of God, when we think carefully about what God's word is really saying about us and about him and about our great salvation, our faith deepens. It grows. Our trust in the Savior increases. Our awareness of how he is active and present in each moment expands. And that's what leads then to a decrease in fear and the courage to press on. I know it's not a biblical example, but there's something important in that poem that maybe many of you have read before, Footprints in the Sand. You guys know the one that I'm talking about? The person wonders why, though, through the difficult times, there are only one set of footprints in the sand, when other times there were two. Wonders why God stopped walking with him in the most challenging times. Of course, the response from the Lord was, there were only one set of footprints in those difficult times, not because he left, but because he was carrying the man at those times. He just didn't have the eyes to see it then. Now, of course, the reality is, beloved, that the Lord is always carrying us. There's always only one set of footprints, okay? But the point is clear, and it reminds me of Elisha's servants whose eyes were opened to see the armies of God, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace and sees there's someone else there. When we have eyes to see, when we see the gospel in its fullness and all of its promises, that's when fear will decrease and passion to live for him will increase. The more we turn our eyes back to him, the more we are sound in our thinking about his goodness toward us, the more we meditate on God's truth and preach the gospel to ourselves and hear the preaching of the gospel, partake in the sacraments which display the gospel in picture form and in ways we can taste and touch, the more our eyes are turned to Christ and all his provisions. That's where our strength comes from. Christ and knowing him, not just intellectually, but experientially. And so now look at the contents of this saying, of this creed perhaps, that Paul is sharing with Timothy. Look at verses 11 through 13 again. The saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Here we have encouragement, warning, and then comfort. Paul believes this saying will strengthen Timothy to stay the course for the cause of Christ. Look at verse 11. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. This is very similar to what we read in Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What Paul is saying in both of these passages is this. Union with Christ is what gives to us life. It's being in Christ that allows us to die to sin and rise to new life in relationship with God. This marks the life of the Christian. How do we obtain union with Christ? By grace. Through faith. Paul is saying to Timothy, always remember this. You are in Christ, which means that you have died to sin and self and will rise with him one day. Yes, the focus here is on the future day, that one day we will rise in glory. But from Romans, we know that there's also present implications. Timothy, you're different. Your life, Christ's life in you, makes you different. Being in Christ guarantees eternity. This is the promise of the gospel. Live in that promise. That's past tense. It's done. We have died with Christ, which means we will live forever with him. Future. What about the present? Look what happens in verse 12. Second, if we endure, we will reign with him. This too is a promise, beloved. Here's a principle we see throughout the New Testament. The road to glory is marked with suffering. Put another way, suffering now leads to glory later. Paul says in Philippians 2 about Jesus himself, he humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, that is a human. He died a criminal's death. He was crucified on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Remember, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, but first he humbled himself. The road to glory is paved with suffering. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and listen, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Part of Christian discipleship, part of living as followers of Christ, is that we will endure suffering because we are walking with Jesus. Christ the Master suffered. We the servants will suffer as well. But Christ reminds Timothy of the promise of what comes after the suffering passes. We will reign with Christ. We will reign as joint heirs. Look at the third thing. Here's the warning. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Another way of thinking about this is rejection of Christ has eternal consequences. Our minds go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, where Jesus says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Jesus was speaking in the context of the persecution and suffering that is sure to come against his followers. He says, don't be afraid. This is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. Don't be afraid. Your heavenly Father cares for you. And you know the context of this passage. He says, the number of hairs on your head have been numbered. God knows them. He knows the number of sparrows that are falling from the sky. You are much more important than them. The only thing Jesus was saying there that we are to fear is God himself. And the only way we have to stand before God himself is in Christ. So if we reject Christ, if we deny Christ, we're on our own and we could never stand. Now, does Paul think there's a real possibility that Timothy is going to deny Christ finally and reject him? I don't believe so. But warning passages are just this, an instrument used to keep God's people focused. It's another reminder of just how important it is to put our faith in Christ alone and keep our eyes on him alone. He is the only salvation from the one thing we ought to fear, a holy God's righteous wrath. The rest of this is people who can kill the body but can't do anything to the soul. If you deny Christ finally, you have no redeemer, no advocate, no savior. Notice this, past, we've died with Christ. We will live with him. Present, now is the time to endure because of what's been done in the past. Endure, glory awaits. Future, keep in mind a judgment will come. And the only hope we have is to trust in Christ. If we deny him, only judgment remains. Finally, Paul comes back to the present. Look at verse 13. If we are faithless, it's in the present tense here. Beloved, sometimes it's hard. No, we're not denying Christ. We know we need him. We know he's our only hope for salvation, but fears and anxieties overwhelm us. Sometimes we don't live boldly for Christ. Consider Peter the apostle on the night Jesus was betrayed. Consider the Christians who scattered during persecution. Consider believers throughout history who have made some decisions that were not honoring to the Lord out of fear. Consider your own heart. I remember a distinct opportunity I had to share the gospel with someone years ago. When fear and anxiety set in, concern about appearances, what I would sound like, how foolish I would be thought of, and I just stayed silent. Though I wish I were, I am not always faithful. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. If my hope, beloved, hear this. If my hope was in my faithfulness, all would be lost. Timothy may struggle with timidity. He probably had some anxieties. Paul admits he had them too. Here's the reminder. When we are faithless, when we fail to live the way we know we ought as Christians, again, we're reminded, our Lord remains faithful. It is who he is. It wasn't our faithfulness that caused him to save us in the first place. It will not be our faithfulness that keeps us safe. He does that. He cannot deny himself. And we, by his grace, are in him. Timothy, remember this and press on with peace and courage. Christian, remember this. Jesus is worthy and he will carry you through. Cling to the promises and live gratefully. Never allow your failures to determine your future. Remember, all you have is in him, and he never fails. Beloved, there is so much more to think about in this text, to meditate on in this passage, to consider. Eyes on Jesus. Remember sound doctrine. Keep focused on the Savior and know his promises. To be bold, courageous, and press on for the gospel, we keep our eyes on the faithful one, knowing that he will never take his eyes off of us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Lord, your word is so good and so deep, and there's so much more here. And Lord, your servant here preaching is weak and cannot possibly convey the fullness of what this text really means. Spirit, come, impress these words on the hearts of your people. Give to us courage that comes from knowing you alone. Help us to know your faithfulness, and may that cause us to desire all the more to be faithful to you. Strengthen us by your grace and lead us forward until that day that we will see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.